The VPM Daily Newscast is sponsored by Kanawha Capital Management. Your financial life is unique, complex, and dynamic. Kanawha Capital Management's team of credentialed professionals has been helping its clients build wealth and confidence through personalized planning and informed investing since 1989. Learn more at cancap.com. That's K-A-N-C-A-P.com.
You're listening to the VPM Daily Newscast, the recap of today's top stories in Central Virginia.
From the VPM Newsroom in Richmond, I'm Kim Strother.
Governor Glenn Youngkin addressed community members and media at a Henrico County restaurant Thursday. He repeated criticisms of the budget sent to him by the Democrat-controlled legislature. VPM News reporter Patrick Larson has more.
Youngkin says he'll remove a digital sales tax in the General Assembly's budget because it doesn't include his proposed income tax cuts. He's also against language that would return Virginia to a multi-state carbon market, which he's likened to a tax.
When the sales tax increase and the electric bill increase are removed from the budget, we've got to then go to work and find places to decrease spending that they've included in the budget.
Richmond Delegate Mike Jones, a Democrat, says the GA's budget makes needed spending increases to K-12 education and that the governor's tax cuts wouldn't help most Virginians.
They give tax breaks to the top percentile of the individuals that make money in this Commonwealth. They give tax breaks to wealthy corporations. That's what they've done in the past. That's what we took out and dealt with in this particular budget.
Youngkin has until April 17th to finish his review of the budget and pending bills. He's already vetoed about 30. Patrick Larson, VPM News.
12 teams from around the country recently competed in Henrico County at the A-10 Women's Basketball Tournament. VPM News reporter Lyndon German captured the excitement firsthand.
The five-day tournament attracted more than 11,000 visitors to Henrico's new multi-million-dollar sports and events center. Dennis Bickmeyer, director of the county's Sports and Entertainment Authority, says the event showcased the facility's potential as a go-to sports destination.
I think we showed a lot of people what this building can do.
According to Bickmeyer, the tournament also raised the arena's profile locally.
And really what that's done is created this amazing buzz in our community. It actually brought a lot of local people to the building who got to see the building for the first time.
As the University of Richmond team lifted its championship trophy Sunday, the Spiders will move on to the NCAA Women's Tournament. That series tips off on March 20th. Lyndon German, VPM News.
Democratic U.S. Senator Tim Kaine is co-sponsoring a bill that would require employers to provide paid time off for voting. The Time Off to Vote Act allots at least 2 consecutive hours for employees to vote in person, return mail-in ballots, fix their ballots, or drive someone else to the polls. In a news release, Kaine said, quote, "Voting is the foundation of our democracy, and no American should have to choose between voting and keeping their job or paying their bills." Richmond's a food town, and to mark its ever-changing restaurant landscape, Style Weekly has published a print edition dedicated to the area's food and drink options. It's out now. Style food editor Deb Freeman recently sat down with VPM News editor Dave Cantor to chat about new trends and restaurants and the Commonwealth's food heritage.
I think this is the first food issue Style's published since its return to print. So can you kind of explain how you thought about the food and drink landscape in the region to even figure out what to cover?
Yeah, I mean, that's always the tough decision, right? Figuring out what to cover because there is so much. Our region really is diverse and it's eclectic. But what I wanted to do is make sure that we touch on as many things as we possibly can.
So let's start, I guess, with something that is very important to me, at least tacos. So you all did a roundup of your favorite taco spots around the area, and I was glad to see El Chido in there.
Yes.
Yeah, that place is kind of amazing. So I guess kind of talk about how you figure out, because I think a lot of lists are city-centric, and this one I don't believe is.
Right. I mean, we didn't want to necessarily focus on city center, and we didn't want to focus on anything that was trendy either, right? So it was important to me to really try to get across section of as many as we could. We couldn't obviously go to all of them, although I wish we could. That would have been delicious and amazing. You know, La Cabana, which is, for my money, one of the best taco places in the city, you know, that gets no love and no one talks about, which is crazy to me. I was just so happy to include places like that, where they're a little under the radar, but incredible places to check out.
So exploring the history of Virginia is important for a bunch of reasons. But can you talk a bit about the food culture story that you wrote for this issue?
So the stepchild story, as I call it, that's what I call it, but that's not the title of it. Really, you know, for me, I've been writing about food, talking about food for years. And one of the things I've noticed on a national basis is that Virginia is not often mentioned. So there are, you know, hundreds of barbecue shows that you see on Food Network. They all talk about North Carolina and Texas. And, you know, there's so much more barbecue than that, first of all. So let's start there. But no one talks about where barbecue comes from. And it's Virginia. And so it really kind of gets me amped up that no one talks about that. And not only that, but fried chicken. American fried chicken starts in Virginia. The American version of macaroni and cheese starts here in Virginia. These are iconic Southern dishes here, like in the Commonwealth. And so I really wanted to kind of put a stamp and say, hey, this is something we can be proud of. This is something that folks can enjoy. And this is our contribution to the Southern food narrative.
Kind of related, there's also a piece about the soft-shell crab industry. Mm-hmm. So how did you approach that story?
Yeah, so shout out to Roby Martin, one of our writers who handled that story. I really applaud her for doing a serious deep dive and doing some research into the decline of the soft shell and how much more difficult it is to find. Soft shell season comes, you immediately think about where you want to go, but you don't think about where it comes from and how difficult it is to get sometimes. So that's one of the pieces I think people are really going to enjoy.
Among your picks for favorite new restaurant was Penny's Wine Shop, and its name, you point out, almost immediately is a misnomer. Can you talk about why some people might see the name of that restaurant and think that it is something that it is not?
Sure. I mean, they certainly do sell wine, so obviously I want to point that out. But, you know, when I went to Penny's, I was overwhelmed by the quality of food and the variety of food and the elegance of the food. I really was taken aback and was pleasantly surprised. And to talk to waiters who are really knowledgeable about wine and not just trying to upsell you on a bottle, they really want to talk about to what your palate is, how it complements what you're eating. It's a place that I think more people need to check out. It's incredible. And it really reminds me of a little place like, you know, in the West Village of New York.
There's also a piece in there about a Julia Child exhibit at VMFA. Why is that important to cover? And then what is the application, I guess, to food culture in Virginia?
Sure. I mean, so Mary Scott Hardaway, who wrote that piece, also an incredible writer. The exhibit is fabulous. I mean, Julia Child certainly is a culinary icon. I think it's really interesting because her focus was French food. And I think that a lot of people may not know that Virginia in its early days, because of Jefferson and the enslaved people in the kitchen, was known for a Virginian French style. And so that really can be attributed, honestly, to his chef who went to France and studied and brought back that French technique and brought that to the table. So there's this French tie-in that you see there. And obviously, she's an icon.
Last one. Is there a trend in Richmond dining or regional dining that is new and unexpected to you?
Oysters, which I have to say I don't like. I know that is like a blasphemous thing to say. I'm not an oyster person. But
I've never eaten an oyster in my life.
Oh my God. Okay, so before I want to influence you, you should try it. Everyone should try it for themselves. I have a texture problem. Although a fried oyster, maybe. I might be convinced. But it's interesting to me that there are so many oyster places that are like popping up everywhere. And it's just kind of like, this seems to be the Richmond trend right now.
Are they doing anything new or unique? Or this is just like a proliferation of places to get oysters?
Yeah, I think it seems, you know, everyone, of course, has them raw. You know, you can eat them on the half shell. But I think that the restaurateurs are responding to this apparently overwhelming desire to eat oysters. And so, you know, I'm sure that there are different recipes that folks are employing, but it seems like it's very fried oysters, steamed oysters, raw oysters. You could definitely do that. And so, you know, you have your choice, your pick of the litter. And I do think that's really interesting.
Well, between now and the next food issue, maybe we'll go get some oysters.
Okay, if you try one, I'll give another go.
All right, good deal. Thank you so much for coming down.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Style Weekly's food issue is out now. It's free on more than 100 newsstands across the city. Visit styleweekly.com for more information. This has been the VPM Daily Newscast.
Some of these stories may have changed since the newscast was recorded. You can stay connected to what matters by heading to vpm.org/news or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at MyVPM.
VPM. I'm Speech Thomas from the hip-hop crew Arrested Development. On the new VPM podcast, Track Change, I take you behind the walls of Richmond City Jail, where I help four men record an album and hear how they're trying to break free from a cycle of addiction and incarceration.
Been so long since I've been free.
Subscribe to Track Change in your podcast app.